shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. It is Monday, and so it's usually Loretta and Mary, but today Loretta Frelick is going to take the helm, and while Mary enjoys some much-deserved time with her family. And so welcome, listeners. It's, you know, we listen to our intro theme, The Winds of Change. Are we living in any greater time where there has been so much winds of change about in our world and our lives? And we want to just really praise God because of all of our faithful listeners. We pray as Scripture commands us, and they don't just suggest it. They command that we pray for our faithful. We command that we pray for our officials. And if you read 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 2, the reason is that we pray for our leaders, that it may go well for us. And so we have faithfully prayed for our leaders, listeners. We've faithfully prayed for the areas in the world that have been struggling. And this past October 18th, 12 Nicaraguan priests. We asked all of you to pray for the 222, including Bishop Alvarado, to be released from prison. And just this past week, October 18th, 12 of those priests were released from captivity to the Vatican. And the Vatican, I understand from my reading, has spread them out in dioceses all over and parishes all over. So we are grateful to God that he released those prisoners, but we still got some more to go. We still got 210 to go, including Bishop Alvarado. So we want to increase our prayers, and we want to increase our prayers for Bishop Rolando Alvarez, and we also want to pray for the conversion of Daniel Ortega, the Sandinista leader who's been leader and president of Nicaragua since 2007, and his wife, the vice president, Rosario Murillo. So we want to pray for those two leaders that they would recognize that it is Jesus that they need to honor and give glory to, and the priests need to be released along with Bishop Alvarez. And also, we continue to pray for Cardinal Zen and Jimmy Lay, and they are being held captive. One under house arrest, and Jimmy Lay is just awaiting trial in prison after having been found guilty. And both of their crimes are for being Catholic and Catholic leaders. And so we want to pray for them for their safe release. And luckily for us, we have a new speaker. And, you know, without choosing any sides, the House, the People's House, cannot work without a speaker at the helm. And, you know, things were getting so bleak, people were starting to look at an alternative and perhaps creating a pro tem position. But no, God won the day. We have a new speaker, James Michael Johnson. He goes by Mike Johnson. He is the 56th Speaker of the House, and he's from Louisiana's 4th Congressional District. He's been in Congress since 2012, and so you know he needs our prayers. And he needs our prayers to pull that body together so that they can be about the people's business. We've got budgets coming up. We have two wars on that we have our hands in around the world, and we need a wise speaker. And who wasn't edified when the reporters asked about his worldview to hear, just open the Bible, and you got my worldview. So we praise Jesus for the gift of our new speaker, and we should really praise God for that. And the other issue in the world that we would like our prayers for is in the last 2 weeks, Fox News has been reporting today that anti-Semitic attacks have increased 400%. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I'm watching PBS's special, World on Fire. I don't know if that, I am a history buff, and so I enjoy seeing the, you know, when they make a movie or how they portray the world as it was before. And I came from a parent of the Greatest Generation. He fought in World War II, and he fought bravely as a tail gunner. And so I see what the Nazis did to the Jews as portrayed on this television special. Even then, I'm horrified. But now there have been attacks against our elder brothers in the faith, people coming looking for the Jews. This is not the first time. It is, but again. And we need to stand up for them, and we also need to pray for them. So we're adding that to our prayer list today to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in the faith, that things may go well for them and that God may be given glory in that situation. We also lost, for those of you who were growing up watching Friends, how adults navigated early adulthood in New York. And we all, I remember a dear friend of mine, she was asked to give a talk, and it was on the night of the Friends finale. And she just flat out told me, I was the one that asked her to give the talk. It was Mary. It was on Pro-Life. And she basically said, Loretta, no one will come. It's the Friends finale. So we laughed. We still had the talk, and people did come. But they really were a young group of talented actors. But one of them was Matthew Perry, and we lost him this week. And it is still unclear how it was that he died. But considering his treatment for drug and alcohol abuse, you know, it could just be he blew out his heart. But we'll find out soon. But there was a post that a woman by the name of Brooke Taylor Page wrote on Facebook, and I did not know any of this. And I thought it would be important for us listeners to hear about somebody absolutely fabulously famous, incredibly talented, a phenomenal comedic actor. He wrote in his memoir about 14 stints in rehab, 15 stomach surgeries, and more than 60 attempts at detox. He also talked about a powerful encounter with God. And if this show is anything, it is about those powerful encounters with God. And Perry writes in his book, after hitting rock bottom, he reached out in desperation. God, please help me, I whispered. Show me that you are here. God, please help me. As I kneeled, the light slowly began to get bigger and bigger until it was so big that it encompassed the entire room. What was happening? And why was I starting to feel better? I started to cry. I mean, I really started to cry. That shoulder-shaking kind of uncontrollable weeping. I wasn't crying because I was sad. I was crying because for the first time in my life, I felt okay. I felt safe, taken care of. Decades of struggling with God and wrestling with life and sadness, all was being washed away like a river of pain gone into oblivion. I had been in the presence of God. I was certain of it. And this time I had prayed the right thing. Help. May his soul and the souls of all our faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. And brothers and sisters, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that there is nothing too big for our God. We prayed and Dobbs overturned Roe v. Wade, something people I know in the pro-life movement all their lives, and I'm talking from when they were kids, didn't think they would see. We serve the God of the impossible. There is nothing today on your plate that God hasn't already got the answer for. You just need to turn to God and ask him for his help. And for those of you that are struggling, like Matthew Perry did with substance abuse and alcohol abuse, you know, AA has their website posted on the internet. You can give them a quick call at 312-346-1475 or Narcotics Anonymous. Matthew Perry had had a boating accident, and after that accident, he got hooked on Vicodin. So if you need help with Narcotics Anonymous, 312-567-1234. But God is your biggest help. And God stands ready to help you. You just need to call on him. And we thank Matthew Perry for being so candid in his memoir. And I know I'm going to read it, because if this is a guy who's willing to tell us all about when he was the lowest and reached out and God helped him, maybe there's some more pearls in there that we want to take a look at. But I can tell you right now, there is nothing that God does not already have a solution for. If it's financial, if it's addiction, if it's what do I do next on my job? I'm telling you, listeners, God is a big God. There's nothing too big for him to handle. And trust me, he can keep the Gaza situation and your problem on his plate at the same time. That's how much he loves you. When we come back from our break, we are going to talk to Joyce DeRiga. And Joyce, as our listeners who are regular to the show, you know she's the editor of the Chicago Catholic. She is a prolific Catholic writer for our Sunday Visitor. She has authored two books, one on Augustine Tolton and the other on Sister Helen Prejean. And I hope I get points for pronouncing Sister Helen's name correctly when we come back. This is Loretta Frelick, and we are listening to Winds of Change, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Loretta Frelick, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial Mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's Beatification Mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Loretta Freilich sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And our guest today is Joyce DeRiga. Joyce, are you there?
I'm here.
Praise God. Hey. Well, you and I just had a wonderful little field trip. We went on the road, and we went down to Kansas City.
And
indeed. I never thought 7 hours. Actually, I think it was eight.
Yeah.
Eight hours yeah. on the road. Whoa, you got to have a good traveling companion. So I'm glad you were there.
Right back at you. Yeah.
And we went to the 2020 Jesus 2023 Drink of One Spirit, the National Catholic Charismatic Conference. And it was a big adventure. It had a lot of big name speakers and some important topics. Now, you aren't charismatic per se, or do you consider yourself charismatic?
I'm a hanger-on.
Never, Joyce.
But, or I could be semi-closet. Like, remember that one of those speakers was talking about, the priest was talking about, he was a closet charismatic for a long time. But I am moving more toward officially becoming one. But,
welcome.
Or identifying as one, yeah.
So we had a lot of, like, historical speakers at this event, and I have been, you know, embracing the charismatic renewal, I probably think, my whole adult life. Yes, and it's been a huge blessing for me. And ironically, out of all of my brother and sisters, my mother prayed that I would become a part of the charismatic renewal. I don't understand why just me. I wish I had asked her before she went home to God. But anyway, so I enjoy the charismatic renewal. I enjoy the way we worship unabandedly. I enjoy the gift of praying in tongues when I don't know how to pray. And I enjoy the praise and the music and the topics. And I enjoy giving it all to the Lord. And interestingly enough, the first keynote speaker that we heard was Ralph Martin. And Ralph gave a talk in 1976 in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium. And it was a prophetic word, the body of my son is broken. And he relived that opening talk for us. And it was really just, the one part I come away with was, you know, he was saying how people like to make deals with the Lord. And his line, Jesus doesn't do deals. You're either all in or you're working on it. So
wasn't it at Arrowhead Stadium? There's like 60,000 people there or something.
There were.
Yeah.
And, you know, interestingly enough, and this is a historical charismatic renewal moment, but Blessed Elena Guerrera was a sister in Italy, and she wrote Pope Leo at the time 13 letters saying, Catholic Church has got to let the Holy Spirit back in. Catholic Church has got to take Holy Spirit out of the box. And so Pope Leo created this novena to the Holy Spirit. And the irony of all of it is Holy Spirit poured himself out on the Protestants first. So God has a sense of humor. And, you know, we're facing those trials now that I guess like in 1976, the Holy Spirit came, we've talked about it on the show before, to Duquesne University in a powerful way over students that were at the University of Pittsburgh. And then they left Duquesne and they went to all parts of the United States, Ann Arbor, Notre Dame, Southwest, Louisiana. It was all, you know, it was so strategic. The Lord lit these young college kids on fire and sent them out into the U.S. and really prompted the movement of the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that I was so impressed is how we are going through some of the same trials that they were experiencing back in the 70s.
Yeah, 100%. And we haven't, and how far people who were there wanted to, thought we would be by now with unity with other Christian churches and, you know, unity together amongst ourselves and just, yeah.
Right.
How far we've come and how far we still have to go.
Right. And, you know, we have so many wonderful opportunities. I know that having been involved in the pro-life movement my whole entire life, my mother used to say, I let you live. This is the pro-life movement for you. But she was just kidding. But we had, you know, she took us on all those even as little kids, took us on all those pro-life rallies and protests and pickets. And it was the Lutherans that were more pro-life than we were and that had their finger on the pulse of the movement. And it was in unity with them that the Catholics came into the pro-life movement. And so that prophetic word, that prophecy, the body of my son is broken, is so important to recognize even today, because one of the prophetic words was so many of your young people have been carried off into captivity. So
yeah.
When you think about how they're captive by drugs, captive by alcohol, captive by screens, captive by secularism, you know, when you think about, you know, when we read in scriptures about how the Israelis were carried off into captivity, they were taken to another land. So too our young people are being carried off. And, you know, and Ralph's word was pretty serious when he said, we are now facing not a post-Christian, but an anti-Christian world.
Yeah, it's very sobering. And several of the speakers talked kind of, it's hard not to, I think, look at the world right now and not agree that that's all going on. And like we were saying before before you brought me on, you know, God's got it. You know, the Holy Spirit, God has an answer.
Yes. Yes. God always has the answer.
Yeah.
He always has the answer. And, you know, one of the talks that, or the way Ralph ended his talk was, you know, God wants us to be holy because he's holy. And we're created in God's image and likeness. And that includes the holiness that he possesses. And so as we are trying to be like the author, be like God, our salvation depends on us knowing the word of God, being holy because God is holy. I'm always kind of struck by the fact that, you know, I have a law license. I don't get to keep my law license if I don't take continuing legal education. You know, we don't just stop at the eighth grade or high school, you know, or that one or two religion courses that we have to take in order to meet our requirement in a Catholic college. Our lives must be ongoing, continual, godly education. And I think it's important to God that we care about him and that we're trying to live according to the light of God and that everybody knows it. Everyone knows who we are. And, you know, we talk about taking evangelization courses. Well, wait a second. Evangelization shouldn't be anything anybody doesn't see in our daily lives.
Yeah. And I think one of the bishops said that in their homily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we were blessed. Oh, we were blessed to have Bishop Peter Smith. And Bishop Peter Smith is from People of Praise. And he serves in Oregon. He serves in Portland, Oregon. And he is part of Charis International. And we are blessed to have him as a Catholic charismatic bishop that really loves the renewal. And as everyone knows, People of Praise is a charismatic prayer group. Their most well-known member is Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who grew up in People of Praise. And it is our gift in the renewal to have Bishop Peter Smith. And he is somebody who really, that the rest of the evening flowed into a healing service and a prayer event. And there was laying on of hands, and we were really blessed to do that at the end. Are you still with us, Joyce?
I'm sorry, my chief dialed your cell phone. I'm back.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
I was struck by, I didn't know how many, I wanted to know how many bishops are charismatic and what a blessing that is. And, you know, if there were more, but he was absolutely wonderful.
Well, and we were also blessed with, Bishop Nauman. Bishop Nauman, who is
Nauman,
and he is head of the pro-life committee for the USCCB, and he gave a beautiful talk, and I am the proud recipient of a photo with him because it was, and it was, he was such a blessing to us and the homily that he provided. It was truly beautiful. What other events at the conference impressed you, Joyce?
You know, I always enjoy the praise and worship and the healing and the Eucharistic adoration. You know, I enjoy that.
Yes.
When, that's something that I always get. My family, like different family members, have been charismatic, and just the level of music and the level of worship and how it moves you, you know. And
yes.
Then we had adoration on Saturday night, and you know, I went for prayer and stuff. That's always super beautiful and super moving, and there's tissue boxes all over the place because everybody's crying, you know. And but I also liked very much Misty Edwards, and you can tell people, you know her work well, and you can tell people about her. But that whole session was amazing,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tell our listeners what you enjoyed about Misty Edwards, because I could go on for hours.
So I'll briefly read it. So she's senior leader at the International House of Prayer, where she's helped build day and night prayer for 24 years. It's like, it's non-denominational, and she's a singer and worship leader, and she talked about praying intercessions through, I might be messing this up, but
no,
intercessions
no.
through, and prophecy through music. So instead of, like, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as you know, is prophecy, and most times that comes through, you know, spoken word. And she was talking about how, like, you can pray, just like take a psalm and start with a psalm, and
yes.
then translate the psalm into your own words, and then, you know, maybe switch it and have, you know, be the voice of God speaking to you or back. And so, just, it was so moving. And then she started to kind of prophesy over some people, and she's so talented, and it's just so moving. It wasn't like, you know, anything I've experienced before. And you can see the healing power. And she was calling for people to pray for, to send prophetic musicians and singers, and the need for it. And, you know, and we don't do a lot of prophetic prayer anyway, but music is not always the key focus of our parishes. And I would love to see that change. I know it's hard. I mean, we're not non-denominational, and that's like one church. We have to fund a lot of things, but there's such a power in worship. And I was just reading what the Pope said at the end of the closing of the synod, calling for more adoration. And he's talking about adoring the Lord, and not just in the Eucharist, but definitely doing that. And then, but also adoring Him at all times. And music helps us do that. And, you know, and maybe, you know, unbuttons us a little, you know, and makes us less rigid, speaking from personal experience. But
well, when we come back,
wonderful.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joyce, what did you just say?
Go ahead. I thought she was wonderful.
She was wonderful. And when we come back from our next break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the International House of Prayer and Misty Edwards presentation. I'm Loretta Frelick, filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, 7:50 a.m.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Loretta Frelick, filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change with our guest, Joyce DeRiga. And we are talking National Catholic Charismatic Conference and some of the speakers and the beautiful opportunities they offered us to grow closer to God and deeper in prayer. And, you know, I too love Misty Edwards, and I have known of Misty Edwards for an awfully long time. I am familiar, and if our listeners are not, go at 24/7. Mike Bickle, after the Kansas City Conference in 1976, came up with the idea of 24/7 worship. And our board of directors for Pentecost Today, we took a little field trip to International House of Prayer. And it literally is the same worship that we saw, and it is also the same intercession. And what I loved about what Misty said was that we want to know what God is thinking. God, what is on your heart? And worship takes our heart and tenderizes it in love. Now, tenderize, you know, I have to be honest with you, when I'm not a cook. And when I thought of that, I thought, well, you know, put a little seasoning on that little heart and like a little piece of chicken and we're all done. Oh, no.
No.
I watched.
You beat the crap out of the piece of, yeah.
I watched
I'm addicted to cooking shows, yes, with like especially competition. And you beat the crap out. So when she used that analogy, I was like, I
oh
get it.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And you're like completely changing the fiber,
yes,
of, yeah.
Yes. And so when our heart is tenderized in love toward God, there's a change in its composition as you turn toward Him and you want what God wants. And the phrase she used was the unction of God. You want the Holy Spirit of God. And just the beauty of it is, you mentioned that she prays in Scripture, and that's what she does. And she'll repeat a song, a line over and over, just to let it get into your fiber of your heart. And what I loved was she showed us how to do it, and that,
yeah,
you know, she, you know, told us how to do it. And it's always begin in prayer and, you know, be present, be bold, be friendly toward God, smile, and, you know, speak the words of the gospel, the kerygma, over yourself and the people you're praying with and the people that are there. And you can use different approaches with different people and always pray, come Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it was super, super moved. And, you know, it helps that she's a talented musician, but yeah, 100%.
Very. Yeah. And so I really encourage any of our listeners, just check out International House of Prayer, IHOP. It is not a prayer group for the Pancake House. And
I thought it was at first. I had no idea what you all were talking about. I'm like, why are we going for a special field trip to IHOP? Yeah, I can do that at home. Yeah,
there you go. I can go to IHOP by myself. I don't need pancakes tonight.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it was all good. Is there anything else that you came away with in the conference that you want to share with our listeners?
You know, I think that all of it was good. And I think that just the power of praying over each other and praying for people.
Yes.
And understanding that more. And you know, even just maybe listening to some worship music and then, you know, kind of letting the Spirit move you. I think that was a good reminder for me and all of that. But yeah, I think that what we talked about was adoration and with praying over each other was wonderful. The liturgies were all wonderful. It's just nice to be together.
Yes,
you know, with people who, yeah,
and proclaiming the mantra of the conference, which flowed out of the 1976 Arrowhead Stadium, Jesus is Lord. And so, you know, the reflection that we read at the beginning about Matthew Perry recognizing, you know, Jesus is Lord by recognizing his presence in his room, you know, by all the speakers and, you know, Ralph Martin reminding us and, you know, Misty Edwards showing us how to acknowledge that lordship and the other speakers. That was incredible. That was incredible.
Yeah. Beautiful moment.
It was. And, you know, here in Chicago, we've got a lot of our next road trip, though, Joyce, it's going to be that Eucharistic revival if we don't come up with something in between.
Yeah.
So if you haven't made your plans to attend the Eucharistic revival, get your information and get to Indianapolis in a couple months. What, 8 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less than a year now because it'll be in July.
Yeah. So that should be exciting. Bringing all kinds of Catholics together in Indianapolis to say, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah, and anyone who's listening that's from Chicago, they're in the planning stages for doing like vicariate-wide revival events or something, like maybe one in each vicariate. I know they announced it at the Day of Renewal, but I don't know any of the details, but that should be coming down the pike.
Praise God. Well, we close out October, and it's been Respect Life Month, Domestic Violence Month, and we're moving in tomorrow to Halloween. But you, Joyce, as editor of the newspaper of the Archdiocese of Chicago, you keep your pulse on the Archdiocese, and you have another issue coming out weekly, right?
Mm-hmm. Bi-weekly. But we're going to press tomorrow. Yeah.
Ooh, that's kind of exciting, going to press tomorrow. How's that working?
Yeah, well, you know, trying to stay focused on this phone call, you know, and not check my email.
There you
good.
Go. Yeah. But it's almost time to get back to that email. But now tell us, what do you enjoy about being editor of the Chicago Catholic?
I mean, I like telling stories. This is what I went to college for journalism. And everybody has a story to tell, and we get to tell it and share it. And I always thought that was an honor. So I enjoy seeing how God's working in people's lives. And also I enjoy seeing how the church is working. Like before this call, I was working on the page for, we had an indigent burial in Lake County. So what that is they started them back in Cook County. They've done almost 5,000, they buried almost 5,000 people and unborn. And they started it in 2012 when the law changed and the county that stopped compensating funeral directors to bury the indigent. So they people, unfortunately, the bodies of the dead were unclaimed or they couldn't find their families or their identities, started stacking up in Cook County morgue.
Wow.
So we stepped up, Catholic Cemeteries of the Archdiocese of Chicago stepped up and said, you know what, we got some space. We'll bury them for free. Just bring, you know. So that started a series of a couple times a year. There at Mount Olivet Cemetery on the south side, we bury the indigent, the unborn, and the unknown. So this time in October, well, this is October, October 16th, Lake County had their first. You know, they don't have the number of
indigent burials.
Yeah. So they did that up in Libertyville. And it's just such a beautiful ministry. And we do it because we're Catholic, not because the people are necessarily Catholic, or it's just a corporal work, some a work of mercy. And it's just a beautiful, to me, expression of our faith in action. And
yes,
it's super respectful. And there's a contract now with the city, with the county to do this because they saw how cemeteries respected the dignity of each person.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a prayer service, and now funeral directors volunteer their times to accompany the remains from the morgue to the cemetery, and they stay with the remains that they brought, and then everybody lays a white rose on the caskets, and then at the end, and, I mean, it's just super beautiful and super example of our faith in action. But we also have Bishop Perry's retiring, so and Bishop Bittick, so we have stories on that, too, but go ahead.
Well, I wanted to tell you that, you know, you and I have talked about this. You were honored to be part of the exhumation of the body of Father Tolton. And I've told you how I have always been so impressed at the reverence the church shows the bodies of our Catholic faith by they dressed Father Tolton in a fresh, clean alb, and you know, the garments that he wore, the beautiful, I don't know what it's called, but it's the, you know, the part with the lace on it, and it's so beautiful. And I just thought, wow, does that not tell the world how we reverence the body? And, you know, I wish more and more young people could hear that story, so that they know, too, that their body is created in the image and likeness of God, and the church reverences it. And, you know, I think that's so important.
And that's what the cemetery's director says in my story, is that, you know, and you think about the first cemeteries were where the first masses were held, because Christians would go to the graves of the martyrs and such, and they would, you know, break bread, and then they would talk about how they see Jesus moving and all that kind of stuff. And then, but then, yeah, exactly. That's our belief in the sanctity of all human life. And that was a soul. Everybody who is buried is a soul, you know, and deserve the respect and reverence as a child of God. Yeah, totally.
Wow. Well, I learned something new talking to you every day, Joyce. And I didn't know that that's where the first masses were held. But
yeah,
when
in the homes of wealthy people. But go ahead.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
I would have been in the cemetery. But those catacombs, they were pretty active. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear more about what's coming up in the paper and take a look at why you should be part of the Chicago Catholic. This is Loretta Freilich with her guest Joyce DeRiga on Winds of Change, 7:50 a.m.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Loretta Freilich,
and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Loretta Freilich talking with Joyce DeRiga, the editor of the Chicago Catholic, and we're getting the inside scoop on what's coming up on the paper this week. So, Joyce, you talked about you're putting the paper to bed.
Yes.
Tell me what's coming up in the, you mentioned Bishop Perry.
Yeah, so it's a kind of, when any one of our bishops retire, we try to do a special kind of section honoring them. And usually there's advertising support, and it sounds a little gratuitous, but we aren't 100% supported by the Archdiocese, so we have to raise money through advertising. So it gives us an opportunity to do that, but then people buy ads and mm-hmm. thanking them for their service. And long story long, Bishop Perry and Bishop Lippick, the Pope accepted their resignations in September. And so I did the story on Bishop Perry, and Michelle did on Bishop Lippick. And we got, there's photos, there's beautiful photos. And, you know, I can speak to Bishop Perry because I've worked with him closely on the Father Tolton cause and such. So I'm a huge fan of his. He's super humble. It was funny because I interviewed 4 different people, and they all said the same thing. Like, they all had the same words. He's a quiet leader.
Yes.
He's humble.
Yes.
He doesn't look, you know him.
Yes.
So he doesn't seek out accolades. And he's just got a gentleness to him and a dignity. And everybody said the same thing. It was so funny. So, I mean, that's Bishop Perry. He will be missed. He's already.
Yes.
Missed.
Yes. Oh, I so agree. I'll never forget. You and I were at the opening of the Austin Peace Garden at Catholic Charities.
Yeah.
And Bishop Perry was there. And you and I were both, we were almost like high school girls. We were like, oh my gosh, Bishop Perry's going to be here. And he's standing right there. I mean, I was like, how embarrassing. But you know my favorite Bishop Perry story. And indulge me and let me tell it again. I was visiting a friend of mine. I used to go weekly to visit a friend of mine who was a priest, staying in one of Catholic Charities facilities. He was very sick. And I'd go every week, and often priests, and this time Bishop Perry, showed up to visit him. So I just excused myself and let him visit with my friend, Father John. And then I asked Bishop Perry if I could just talk to him for just a minute. And of course, I was like a fool as he came out, and he said, what can I help you with? And I told him the story of a friend of mine who was a young kid that I had known from days of volunteering at an inner city school, who was now charged with murder. And no one in a year's time had been to visit him. I could not visit him because I was a prosecutor, and that's one of the codes. You can't go visit inmates. And I got to the part of my story where I'm telling him, and no one has been to visit Oliver. And he interrupted me and said, may I go? I was totally blown away. The guy gives me his personal business card with all his personal numbers on so that I can get him Oliver's inmate information. And he went and visited him. And it wasn't easy because they had transferred him to Kankakee, to another jail. So, you know, we are going to be at a loss with Bishop Perry retiring. And, you know, I just wish him every good gift from heaven above, because he has been such a blessing. And the other rumor I hear about him, I can't say as I've seen it, but I do believe it. He's often found sweeping the floor and bringing groceries to Zacchaeus' house, which is the home, the transitional home for guys that are getting out of prison, that are, you know, trying to meet their requirements and get a job and do all that stuff. And, you know, that takes a very good heart.
Yeah, completely. Like, he's just, he's special. Well, you know, hopefully now he'll have more time to do things like visit folks in jail, in prison. You know, maybe
yes.
Since he won't. Of course, they do, like, 100, I'm not even kidding, confirmations a year. But,
yes.
Yeah, hopefully he'll have more. And he's sitting on his postulator, Brother Tolton Trust.
Yes. So. Well, that's good, too, because we continue to move along on that. And how is that moving?
You know, you want the miracle overnight, but the Vatican came last year, representatives of the Vatican came last year to investigate a miracle, and Bishop Perry continues to collect miracles, alleged miracles. So hopefully, you know, in our lifetime, Bishop Perry thinks it will.
Praise God. Well, we can put that on our intercession list for our listeners. We're praying for the miracle for Bishop or for Father Tolton.
Yeah.
That is totally doable. And what else do you think Bishop Perry will be doing in retirement?
Probably sweeping more floors.
God bless him. Yes, quietly sweeping more floors so that they are just rumored, no reported sightings. So,
I heard that story, too, so I don't know if it's a legend or truth and it's spread somewhere, but yeah, I've heard that story, too.
Well, I don't think I told it to you, so it must be true. We've got two unconfirmed sources.
Yeah, exactly.
What else is coming up in the paper, Joyce?
So we've got covered to the Synod. The Synod wrapped up Saturday night. They had the release of the document, and then the final mass yesterday.
Yeah,
we have a story about local parishes and schools taking part, and you know, Pope Francis had called on Friday for a day of prayer and fasting for peace. You know, with everything going on in the Middle East and Ukraine, and so we had some parishes and schools who took part in that. And then let me see, what else do I have? St. Benedict the African School in Englewood, and there's shootings often right outside their doors.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, they've become good friends with the local police district. And the police actually will, kind of keep an eye on the school and get there whenever they're coming in the morning and leaving. So they do an annual cookout at the beginning of the year to say thanks to the first responders, but they also do a peace walk. They have Leo High School is not far away. So they have like mentors at Leo. So the boys come over and they have a peace walk around the block and the kids make signs and there's some cute photos, but it's just to, pray for peace in the community. And it's a safe way for the kids to get out among the people. So, good stuff happening around the Archdiocese.
And, that's the importance of the Chicago Catholic. I can remember, I'm going to date myself now. I used to sell subscriptions to the New World. But, it's so important to be touting all the good things that we do. You know, your last issue has a wonderful article on the burial of Bishop Kevin Birmingham.
And,
yes, and just beautiful photos. And, that's not something everybody in the arch can get down to. For people in my vicariate where he was the bishop, that's important. If you can't get there, you can at least see how we honor our Catholics and honor what's going on in the Catholic world here in the Archdiocese. So it's a very important ministry that you provide, Joyce.
Thank you. We hope that people get inspired. Like, we'll do these stories of certain things that might inspire another parish to step up and do that or reach out to that parish and get some ideas for some words.
Okay, you're coming in and out, Joyce. Are you holding your phone in a different way?
Is it better?
Yes, much better. Okay.
I'm in the basement.
Oh.
Yeah, Quigley, so it's that's where our offices are, so it's not always the best reception. But we hope the stories inspire people to, in their lives and in their
their journeys.
Yes, and I think that they do that. I'm so impressed by the Jerusalem Cardinal, the Latin patriarch, who offered himself for the children hostages in Israel. You know, you don't get that kind of, if you're not on your phone reading everything, you don't get that kind of information. And I know that it was a real blessing to visit and venerate the relics of St. Therese at the National Shrine.
Thank you. Yeah, that was super cool.
Tell me why that was super cool. You got to come closer to your phone.
Okay. It was the official relics. The shrine in Lisieux has four different reliquaries that they have official that travel the world. And this was one of them. It was also, with her reliquary, came a reliquary with the relics of her parents.
Wow.
And this was the first time, it was the first time they visited the United States. And so that was super cool. And then I didn't understand that the shrine in Darien is a national shrine, and it actually started in Chicago.
Okay.
When I moved to Darien at the time, that was part of the archdiocese. It started on the south side, and the Chicago Catholics and the U.S. Catholics really helped get trees canonized because it takes money. So they had a relationship with the nuns in Lisieux, and the nuns asked for financial support. And so in Thanksgiving, the nuns sent, like, Therese's bed is in the museum out in Darien, the items from her room, like the little desk that she wrote at. She was little, too. I mean, these chairs are little. And it's worth a visit. It's beautiful. The grounds are beautiful. And there's other relics of St. Therese out there that you can venerate. But, yeah.
Well, wow. It sounds like we all need to take a trip out to to Darien, to the St. Therese shrine.
I 100%, yeah.
What else is going on in the paper this week?
That's about it.
Okay.
That's all the pages we have, so that's about it for now. But we're working on other stuff. You know, the Jesuit Academy in Austin, they actually provide 100% free tuition to their students. They were all a boys' school, and now they're going to have next year, welcome girls. And then they also did some renovations to, like, have a maker's lab. Those are real popular now with kids, with schools, to, like, with 3D printers and, you know, teaching them how to do gaming and music, you know, recording and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to work on that. And we also had the World War II veteran. They identified his remains. And he was just interred on Saturday in Holy Sepulchre in Alsip.
Praise God.
Yeah. So that's a neat story.
Well, Joyce, we really want to thank you for being at the helm of the paper. You do an awesome job. And for those of you that want to get more information about the Chicago Catholic, you can go to ChicagoCatholic.com. All one word, ChicagoCatholic.com. And there you can get subscription information. And for a mere $3, you can get 2 issues to your home delivered in the mail every month. So it has been our pleasure talking to Joyce and sharing all the exciting things God is doing about the world. It has been my privilege to be with you, listeners, and we look forward to God of the impossible doing more. Amen. God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. Thank you. words that you say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long.